innermost being. Remove the stain of my guilt.
Good news and shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
So I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? And the fall is the Jewish rejection of the Messiah. Have they stumbled so that they should fall? And the word fall there is permanent failure, permanent falling, falling away forever. And of course, Paul's answer is certainly not. It's not a forever fall. For though they fall, to provoke them to jealousy through their fall, in order to provoke to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. And so the Jewish rejection of the Messiah has removed them from the possibility of salvation, except for the remnant. We went into that last time with the remnant that are saved and who receive Christ as their Messiah. But the others are not saved, and they have the spirit of stupidity, the spirit of stupor, so that they do not even comprehend what the Bible is all about. They read, they have their Bibles, but they don't grasp it. They don't get it. And Jesus told them at one time. He said, "Search the Scriptures; you'll find me in there." But they searched, and they didn't find him, because they don't see it. They're blinded to it. But so their rejection, of course, according to this verse, resulted in the salvation, or resulted in the gospel being taken to the Gentiles. And it was taken there through the Old Testament scriptures. That's all they had when they first took the gospel into the world. They went to the Gentile Asia and Asia Minor and so forth. They brought the gospel, but they had no New Testament. They only had the Old Testament scriptures. So out of the Old Testament, and in fact, they used the Greek version of the Old Testament, and out of that version of the Old Testament, they taught the gospel as you and I know it. And so there was this new movement of believers who were using the Jewish Old Testament, and they were bringing in Christ as the Messiah and the grace gospel and all of that through the Jewish Bible. And so that would have provoked curiosity, perhaps jealousy, perhaps envy on the part of others who said, "Why are they using our Bible? Why are they talking about our father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? Why are they quoting from Isaiah the prophet? He's our prophet, not theirs." And there was this competition going on, which doesn't really exist today, at least not in our country. But then it existed strongly. Why are they using our prophets, our writings, our Psalms, our heritage? Why are they using all of that and starting this other religion? And so they would investigate it. They would go and look into it, and perhaps some of them got saved in doing so, as has been the case over the many years of the past 2,000 years. People who have tried to investigate, even to prove wrong, the gospel or the Bible, have discovered when they got into it that it had conviction, brought them conviction and brought them a definite transformation in their life. There was many people who have that testimony. I went to the Bible to disprove, to cause people to stumble, to find contradictions and so forth, and I ended up getting saved. That's happened many times. And that was happening to these Jewish folks who were being challenged to look into the scriptures because the Gentiles were using their book. The Gentiles were using their writings. And they needed to investigate what was going on, and many of them would get saved, and that was Paul's point. Verse 12, if their fall, which means their rejection of the Messiah, is riches, meaning blessings, If their rejection of the Messiah is blessings to the for the world, and their failure blessings for the Gentiles, how much more will their fullness be? And that's just Paul coming back on it. Fullness, of course, would be the time when Israel will receive their Messiah, as it'll be a national turning to God, as we studied a few weeks back. But he's saying if their failure, if their rejection brought about great riches and blessings to the rest of the world, how much more would their fullness be if they would turn to God and would turn to Christ and receive him as their Messiah? Then he says in verse 13, I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, and I magnify my ministry. I feel a little silly saying it, but I'm an apostle to you Gentiles. And I just feel a little funny, you know, talking about myself, but I'm an apostle to you Gentiles. And which means I have authority in your churches that was given to me by the Lord. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are of my flesh, which means those who are of the Jewish nationality, and save some of them. So that's my purpose. I'm hoping that their curiosity and their interest in researching what's going on here with the Gentile churches will cause them to go to the Scriptures, and then they'll receive Christ as their Messiah. So the curiosity of the Jew might save him, or they might just become bitter and more resentful, but that would be a work of God in their lives. Verse 15, for if they being cast away, rejected because they first rejected the Messiah, if that's the reconciling of the world, then what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? So the curse is turned into a blessing when they finally will come around at some period of history. The curse will be turned into a blessing. And you know that verse, Deuteronomy 23:5. The curse turned to a blessing, and that is God's modus operandi many times in our lives. He's turned things that were curses in our lives into blessings. And reconciliation here, reconciliation is not salvation. Reconciliation is the removal of the dividing wall. There's a wall between this room and that room. And in that room is God. You didn't know that. But he's over there, and his presence fills that room, and he is there, but you and I are here. And the only thing that separates us is that wall. And I could go to him, except the wall would stop me. When Jesus came, he took away the wall of separation, which was sin, the penalty for sin. So with the wall removed, now that's not my salvation, but now I can go to him, and that would be my salvation. So reconciliation means the wall is removed, and we are now all in the world savable. So he reconciled the whole world, means the whole world is savable. The whole world, nothing will, God will not hold their sins against them and keep them back from him. If they come to him, he welcomes them. He will in no way cast them out. So everybody is welcome now because he's dealt with the wall of separation. Before that, there was a wall of separation, and we could not get to him. Therefore, we had the Old Testament, they had the priests, and they had the high priest who could only go in and see the presence of God once a year, and only with blood. So he was the only one who would be able to go into the presence of God. Now you can sing songs like you sang tonight, close your eyes, and be in the presence of God. You can do that because the wall of separation has been removed, and you have come to him in salvation. That's why you and I are now our own priests unto God. We don't have a representative priest that goes there for us. We go ourselves. And that's the blessing of the New Testament. But reconciliation doesn't mean we're saved. Some people take it as that. They go to those verses in 2 Corinthians and say, well, God reconciled the world. That means the whole world's saved. Evangelism night is canceled. Everybody's already saved. We don't need to do a thing because everybody's already reconciled to God. But reconciliation is not salvation. It is simply the fact that you are now free to go to God. There's nothing between you and him. The wall of separation is gone. And now through the cross, you can enter in and come unto him and be saved. So we are savable because of reconciliation. Verse 16, if the first fruits is holy, then the lump also is holy. The lump meaning the lump of dough, making bread, first fruits. If the first fruits is holy, if the lump is also, it means if the grain, that was taken from the harvest is holy because it was given unto the Lord. It was presented to the Lord. The first fruits belong to him. Then the bread that is made from that first fruits is also holy. If the root is holy, the second part of this verse, of a tree, then what comes from the roots, the trunk and the branches, that also is holy. One thing sanctifies the other. And so we are sanctified as the first fruits, and the root is holy. And the root speaks of the patriarchs, the prophets, the writings of Scripture, all of the things that have gone on before us. That has set us apart. So as if we are building our lives upon what they taught us, then we are the branches and we are the lump of dough that is also being touched by what God has done in their lives. So the lump and the branches are set and remain in God's heart, and his plans also remains in his plans because of the root and of the first fruits. Verse 17, if some of the branches were broken off, and they were, and those were the Israelites who rejected Christ, if those branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, meaning the Gentiles, they were not the olive tree. The olive tree speaks of Israel. A wild olive tree is something outside of the country. It's just, it wasn't cultivated, it wasn't planted by God, it wasn't grown, it was just growing wild. It's wild. And oftentimes the word wild refers to flesh as well. Esau was a wild man. But that's another thing. But the wild olive tree was taken and brought in and grafted into the tree, which was the tree that began with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the prophets, the writings of Scripture, and so forth. And the Gentiles were grafted in, and they became a partaker of the root in the fatness. Fatness meaning blessing. You never thought of fatness as blessing, but fatness is blessing. And the partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree. So the Gentile nations were brought in and allowed to receive Christ as their Savior, and the gospel went to them, and they were grafted in to God's plan and to God's purposes. And the fatness, the blessings that were given to Israel, then became, they were allowed to partake of them as well. That's why we share in the new covenant. The new covenant was given to Israel. In the book of Jeremiah, the new covenant was for Israel, and the Gentile churches who became grafted in now become partakers of those blessings in the new covenant, which are mentioned in Hebrews 10 and so forth, that I will remember your sins and iniquities no more, and so forth. All of that was originally given to the Jewish people in the book of Jeremiah, but now you and I are partakers of that fatness. We enjoy some of the fat off of that. But the branches that were broken off are those who rejected Christ as their Messiah, while the believing Gentiles were grafted in and became partakers of the blessings that come through salvation. Verse 18, do not boast against the branches, you rascally Gentiles. Don't boast against the branches who were broken off. For if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root supports you. Remember that Christianity came out of Judaism. Judaism didn't come out of Christianity. The roots of our faith, the thing that we study.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Are you tired of trying to rid your home of ants, roaches, and spiders? Have rodents invaded your attic? Are you frustrated paying for service that never really seems to work? Bug Out Pest Control.